Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, May 23rd, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Is it 2016 already?
Already. Wow. Pretty soon, you're going to have to remember when you're writing your checks to put 2016.
Checks? Really? What checks? Good morning. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm busy writing checks.
Yes. What year are you putting on your checks?
Hopefully one to me.
1997. That's right, right?
Yes. Yes, Brian. That is absolutely right.
Excellent.
Well done, sir. Well done. Hey, I have a couple of stories I thought would be kind of fun for us to discuss because it is us. The first one, there's a new lawsuit that Apple is facing. And this lawsuit, it's a patent infringement lawsuit, and it comes from a company called Corydoras Technologies. And they filed a lawsuit against Apple in U.S. federal court, Eastern District in Texas, which may sound familiar because it is one that's favored by patent trolls. And the lawsuit hammers Apple because the iPhone can send and receive phone calls.
And I'm
not kidding. Like, seriously, this is what the lawsuit says. Now, there is a little bit more to this, but not so much that, in my opinion, it dramatically alters the statement I just said, which is Apple's being sued for making the iPhone capable of sending and receiving phone calls. On a side note, I'm totally waiting for the jokes from people saying, well, I'm on AT&T or I'm on Verizon or I'm on whoever, and my phone doesn't send and receive phone calls.
But, that's funny. First of all, and secondly, Bell Telephone's probably quaking in its galoshes.
Yeah, it probably is. Okay, so the lawsuit also mentions being able to get notifications via email. It also mentions being able to use voice with video in a call, and it mentions or it identifies specifically every iPhone from the iPhone 4 forward, and then every iPad from the iPad 2 forward. So these are all iOS devices that have a front-facing camera. Now, what I found very interesting, and maybe just because I'm weird like that, the iPod Touch is not mentioned in the lawsuit. And from the iPod Touch fourth generation forward, there is a front-facing camera. So anyhow, that was just interesting to me. But
theoretically, you can't make calls from them.
How about from an iPad? Can you make calls from an iPad?
Sure.
You can do FaceTime audio from an iPad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So, but if they mention the iPad, why did they not mention the iPod Touch?
So they're sloppy patent trolls?
That's my guess. You need to see their website, too. It's an amazing website. You guys actually have not seen the website. So I'm going to drop you guys a link right now so that you can see it.
There was a time when it seemed like this was going to be put to an end.
Making phone calls?
No, this kind of patent troll stuff. I remember, when was it? A few months ago, I read about the House Innovation Act, H.R. 9, introduced by the Judiciary Committee that was going to try to put a stop to this. And it passed the House, but it got bogged down in the Senate, and I don't think it's been resurrected. So we were close, but we didn't get there.
Yeah, I don't think any one bit of legislation is going to change this either. This lovely site does satisfy all requirements for have a website.
And it has crazy fast load times, just saying.
Yeah, you got to, if you're listening to this right now, you got to go look at this website.
Yeah.
Please... PLS, do not hesitate to contact us. PLS. Yeah, because when you're making a website that's fine, you can't take time to spell out words.
No, and when I first saw the site, I said something that I never imagined myself saying in my entire life, which is, "Man, if only they had front page."
If only they had GeoCities, man.
Yeah.
Should you have any questions / comments?
Front page.
Again, you can't take time to like write out words like or and with spaces.
Does anybody remember Claris? Was that Claris front page or Claris homepage?
Homepage. Front page was a Microsoft product.
Ah, yes. Claris homepage. I remember that fondly. I used it.
Yeah. It was a nice little product. However, it's gone. But, hey, so here's this company out there that is suing Apple over these patents. They picked them up from a Japanese company. And of course, this company, Corydoras, says that the patents are valid. I mean, why would they say anything other than that?
Yeah.
However, based on what I've seen, it sure looks to me like these patents are so vague that this is not something that's going to hold up in court.
Well, I mean, plus...
Well, that's another issue, too, is how these patents get issued.
There's a little bit of prior art in the idea of a device that'll make voice calls.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
I mean, it's actually... It's hard to imagine how that one got issued. So, I mean, like, vague is one thing, but like something in, I mean, it seems like a fundamental thing. Of course, you know, I am not a patent attorney.
No, but you speak with authority, so that's as good as.
Yeah, the sort of vague bemusement or authority, whatever, you know.
Yeah. So. All right. So. I take it based on the comments you guys are making that you're not thinking I'm off base with my belief that this lawsuit is absolutely ridiculous and should not have happened in the first place.
Correct.
All right.
I'd be shocked to see if these patents actually stand up. It would be, but sillier lawsuits have stood up, especially in the district, the Eastern Texas District of Trolls. What's it called?
No, that's it. Yeah. Eastern District, Texas Eastern District is federal court.
Right. Yeah. That one, yes. Yeah, especially there. Lots and lots and lots of very, very seemingly awful patent troll cases have stood up. So, you know, this could certainly be one, but I would actually I'd be shocked if these patents stand up.
I would be very surprised as well, and I would also be very surprised if. No, I was about to be redundant. I would just be very surprised.
Do we know what year this patent was issued?
Well, it's a series of six patents, and hold on, I can look and give you an idea what year we're looking at. We're talking
because Alexander Graham Bell's name is on the patent, you know, maybe.
No, this is from 2006.
Oh, really?
And originally issued to Iwao Fujisaki.
Did you read through it?
I haven't read through the whole patent yet, but
is there something about the device in question that would somehow make this valid?
If there's something in there, I haven't found it yet. These are so vague.
And you played an attorney on TV, on stage, right?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah. Well, then.
Yeah, so I'm clearly qualified to talk about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'll be very surprised if this actually goes anywhere. But, like you said, Brian, weird stuff happens in Eastern Texas.
Yes. Truer words were ne'er spake.
Yeah, and I'll just kind of leave it vague like that because it fits really well with these patents. All right. So, John,
if this patent has any hope, it's worth investigating to see whether it's even back under consideration by the Congress, because at one time it was. It might be worth talking to your congressman. Of course, the House passed it before and the Senate blocked it, so maybe time to talk to your senator.
Yeah, could be. Regardless, this sure feels like a waste of money and time all the way around, because it's not just Apple that's going to have to shell up money for this case. It's also taxpayers, because this is federal court, which means that taxpayer money has to go into this system to make sure that there's the judge there and everything else that goes along with supporting the infrastructure. So, yeah, this is your tax dollars at work right there. That's really awesome. So, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to get myself either riled up or depressed if I keep talking about this. So I want to talk about another thing that we found today. And this is another lawsuit, because, hey, it's lawsuit day on Daily Observations. There's a lawsuit, or not a lawsuit, this is actually just a study. And the study says that Fitbit fitness trackers are horrible at tracking your heart rate. Now, there's a lawsuit that comes into play, because the people that commissioned the lawsuit, it's a law firm, and hey, they are representing people that are suing Fitbit over it's
Leif Cabrason, which you may have heard on TV, if that says anything.
yeah, that says a lot right there. So the lawsuit claims that that a Fitbit fitness tracker, when it's logging your heart rate, it could be off by up to 25 beats per minute, which is very significant. However, I don't see this as a big problem. And that's because none of these fitness trackers are accurate at tracking your actual heart rate. It's akin to scales. You stand on a scale and it tells you how much you weigh. Well, your scale is probably wrong, and we all know this. A scale is good at tracking trends, so you know if your weight is going up or your weight is going down. A fitness tracker like this is really good at following your trends as well, whether it's steps you're taking or, in this case, what your heart rate is. These are not giving you accurate to the step pedometer readings. They're not giving you accurate to the second heart rate readings. They're giving you good information you can use to follow trends. So if you're trying to improve your overall fitness and you want to see your heart rate go down, then you watch a fitness tracker and see over time that your heart rate is getting lower. Okay, that's the trend. That's what you want to see from these devices. So looking at a Fitbit and excuse me, and then saying that it is accurate is I think that's inappropriate. And I have looked at several trackers. The only wrist-worn fitness tracker device that I have seen that gives really dead-on accurate heart rate measurements is the Mio Alpha, and that's like the gold standard for this. So if you can hit or come very close to what a Mio Alpha does, then I think you've nailed it. And the only other tracker that I have tried to date that is giving you data that's close to what a Mio Alpha does is Apple Watch.
You know, I think companies try to play both ends of this game. They try to advertise that you're going to get your heartbeat out of this device, and they give you one number. And they could give you a range. They could do, you know, your heartbeat's between 80 and 100. But showing
people don't want to see that
wraps it in this aura of accuracy and authenticity. So by giving you a single number instead of a range, it makes it look like it has accuracy that it doesn't have. And then in the fine print of the license agreement for the device, they get themselves off the hook but say, oh, shucks, you know.
But the flip side, John, is that the Fitbit or any other company that I've seen, none of these companies are advertising their devices as absolutely accurate. So, I mean,
no, they don't have to, because a single number presents that artificial aura of accuracy. So it's by implication. Look at the device. Your heartbeat's 72.
No, but like Jeff said, but they're not saying this is a device you can use to get clinical level results.
No. They just leave the decision to the customer's imagination.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't see this particular monster in a closet.
John, I totally get what you're saying, and I think to a degree that you are right in that the average consumer doesn't distinguish between a medical grade device and a consumer grade device.
No, because we're so in awe of technology. You know, we're so in awe of our iPhones and all of the electronics in there crammed into a, 14 nanometer process and 64 gigabytes of RAM and all the wonderful things the phone does. If somebody comes out with an electronic device, we just assume that there is equivalent magic behind the scenes going on.
True. But the other side of the fitness tracker market is that very few people that I have ever encountered, both with a technological bent and just the average consumer that does see the devices as magic, thinks that their fitness tracker is actually accurate. It's the anecdotal evidence that I have collected says that most people look at their fitness tracker as a great tool for motivating them to get healthy, but they don't see it as something that's truly that accurate. And in many cases, I have seen people that take advantage of the fact that they don't think it's accurate to game their device to make it look like they've taken more steps than they actually have.
I just looked at my Apple Watch and it says my pulse is 44. And I don't think that's quite right. Oh, it updated to 69. It didn't stay on the display very long. It must have been in flux.
Probably. And keep in mind, there is a longer gap between heart rate measurements on your Apple Watch than there is on a device, say, like the Mio Alpha. So if you want to have a more realistic heart rate reading from your Apple Watch, you need to put it in like a fitness tracking mode where it's monitoring your heart rate all the time and then watch and see what it does. And that'll be much better. Otherwise, you're just getting these snapshots that are a little farther apart than you might want for the accuracy you're looking for. So
yeah, fair enough.
So
fair enough. I think the long and the short version is that one should not make too much out of this particular study. It was commissioned by an ambulance chaser. Fitbit criticized the methodology, including the small sample size of 43 people and even the quality of the devices that were being used to test stuff. I mean, and even if it's accurate, probably, as Jeff is saying, doesn't really mean all that much.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you, Brian. I think this is a rather frivolous study. And it doesn't provide any valuable information other than it gives the law firm that commissioned the study a bit of data that they can toss around in court. But I don't think it's going to hold up very well. So the bottom line, that fitness tracker you're wearing, it's great because it's helping motivate you to get healthy or stay healthy. And it's really great at showing you the trends, meaning you can tell if you're overall health is improving. But if you're looking at this to be Dr. McCoy's medical tricorder, you will be disappointed.
That's coming in 2017.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. It'll be awesome. Yeah. Hey, we're pretty much out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Yep.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, my watch says I'm still alive, so long.
I'm really glad to hear that. I should put mine on so I can tell if I'm alive as well. listeners, thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.